Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for joining us as we conclude our series, The Grace Guide to Marriage. It's been insightful, it's been fun, and I hope that you've enjoyed it as much as we have enjoyed presenting it. So let's find out what the guys have prepared for today's final session as we turn to Bob Christopher. What's on the agenda today, Bob?
Well, what's on the agenda today is a question that's asked of us all the time, and people really want to know, if I've been divorced, is it okay for me to be remarried?
Yeah.
So the topic today is divorce and remarriage, and I think it's a great way to conclude this whole series. Why? Because today we're going to get to talk about what marriage was from the very beginning, just how we started this particular series. And that's going to be the framework from which to discuss divorce, any options for divorce as far as marriage is concerned. And if you're divorced, what are the options for you? So we're going to go all the way back to the beginning to really reestablish how God defined marriage, how he instituted marriage way back in the garden. So the verse that we're going to read is Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So that is the biblical directive as far as marriage is concerned. Mm-hmm. That is the framework. This is what marriage is all about. It's all contained in this one simple passage. Now, we've added something to it in this particular series, and that's serving one another in love. So there's four things: to leave, to cleave, become one flesh, and then as one in Christ, serve one another in love. That's what marriage is all about. And if we understand that and constantly go back to those four guiding grace truths, grace principles, then we're going to have a framework to deal with every situation that marriage may throw at us. So these are vitally important. Now, as far as this particular passage is concerned, so a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. So that word hold fast or cleave is a very significant word, and it means to cling to join with, or to stay with. So just in that word alone, there is no room for divorce. It doesn't allow for divorce. If you're going to leave your mom and dad and cleave to your wife, then you're saying that I'm going to stay with her. I'm going to be stuck with her all the way to the end.
Burn the boats.
That's exactly right. That's what this word conveys. It's a powerful word, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The idea of marriage is so tied up in our identity with Christ, and we'll see that more and more. But when God said, I'm going to bring Adam and Eve together, I'm going to create someone suitable for him, and Adam says hello, and Moses, when he's reporting this, can't help but say, that's why. That's the reason right there. God put these two people together. They were designed to hold fast to each other. It's think of the strongest super glue you know. This relationship is supposed to be stronger than that.
Yes, that's exactly right. So we cleave, we cling to, we join with, we stay with our mates, and that is a forever thing. Mm-hmm. And back in the garden, I mean, that was to be eternal.
Yes.
I mean, death hadn't entered the picture. It was an eternal relationship. And they were to be one flesh, so there's a union.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come together as man and wife, there's a union, there's a oneness that's been created. And as Jesus said in a couple of places in the New Testament, what God has joined together, let no one divide. That is the nature of marriage. And back in that sinless environment, and that's what the garden was, it was,
yes,
a sinless environment until Satan entered into it and introduced sin into the world, the dissolution of marriage or divorce was inconceivable. Now, I love that word. It's one of my favorite from the movie The Princess Bride.
Yes.
Back then, it was inconceivable for Adam and Eve to be separated in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So we have to realize that. That's how God created it from the very beginning.
So that means that in that sinless state, divorce was impossible. Therefore, divorce is the direct result of sin.
Absolutely. Divorce is a sin.
Yes.
Deciding to come together as one and then divorcing for any reason is not in God's plan. It's not in God's design. It's not how God set it up from the get-go. But sin did enter the picture. And as a result of sin entering into the picture, divorce was one of the things that happened. It was an inevitability. Why? Because now you have two people who are sinful, who are sinners by nature, and they're going to have to try to figure out how to live with one another. And when sin was introduced, it made marriage very, very difficult.
Yeah. Now, well, look at it. This woman you gave me.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You've just, even though sin is there, you've come out of we don't know how long of this perfect state. And the first thing you can say to God is this woman you gave me.
Yeah.
Man, what an accusation. That's horrible.
It is a horrible accusation. And again, the direct result of sin.
Yeah.
So as we move forward through the Bible, we see some references to marriage. For example, in Deuteronomy, I think chapter 24, we see that Moses wrote a command that enabled divorce to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would think, not in the law. The law shouldn't be allowing for this. But as Jesus said, for the hardness of heart. There was a hardness of heart that happened. Sin brought about that hardness of heart. And so Moses allowed for divorce because of the hardness of heart. He wanted a man to write a certificate of divorce for a woman, and that was for the protection of the woman so that she could be in right standing within the community so that she would not be looked at in a negative way. So that's how divorce came about under the law. But now in this new covenant, Jesus Christ has restored things
yes.
back to their original intent. So in Ephesians 5:31 through 32, we read this, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Why? Because it's exactly the same verse. He's quoting Genesis 2:24. But then he adds a new flavor to it. And he says, "This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." So you look at this and you realize the dissolution of Christ and the church is inconceivable. Christ is never going to send the church away. He is never going to depart from the church. He is the head. We are the body. And so we stand together as one. We're in spiritual union with Christ Jesus, and that union will never, ever, ever be dissolved. So what does that say about marriage in this new covenant? The exact same thing.
Yes.
When two people who are in Christ come together as one, then that is a indissolvable relationship. Why? Because the bonds of this new covenant, the power of this love that we have in Christ is much more powerful than anything that we could experience that might want to tear us apart. So we have the binding power of the Lord Jesus Christ himself keeping us together as one.
Yeah.
That's good news.
That is great news.
Well, this is The Grace Guide to Marriage on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us, friends. If you want to share the blessing of helping others to see this new covenant message and series like this going forward, well, we need your help to do that. And many of you have supported this ministry faithfully through the years. And for you, we're eternally grateful. And your gifts do make a difference. And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But right now, let's go ahead and get back to the study edition. This is good stuff, friends. The Grace Guide to Marriage with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper.
Yeah, well, thanks, Bob. So we're talking about divorce and remarriage. Like we said at the very top of the hour, Richard, many people call and ask that question.
Yes.
I just got divorced. Is it okay for me to be remarried? And they're looking for loopholes. They know God hates divorce. We see that in the Bible. The book of Malachi states that very clearly. God hates divorce. Why? Because it brings about all kinds of pain and sorrow and hurt within the lives of the people affected by it, the husband and the wife and the family. And then, there's a whole group of people around it that are going to be affected as well. And love does no harm to its neighbor. Divorce is one of those things that brings harm into the lives of people. That's why God hates it. That's why God hates sin. Why? Because sin harms us. It destroys us. It can kill us. That's the power of sin. That's why God hates it. That's why God says he hates divorce. So it's not something that we should even talk about as believers in Christ. It's in our vocabularies, in our language. We should just expunge that word from our vocabulary. There is no reason to ever bring about that word in a conversation in a Christian marriage. And today, sex is casual, marriage is casual, divorce is casual. We just think it's no big deal. There are so many people who walk to the altar and they make vows to one another, and they say with their lips, until death do us part. But in their hearts and minds, they're saying, hey, if it doesn't work out, I'll just get divorced and go find somebody else.
Yeah.
That's kind of the nature of marriage today. And that's the nature of sex today. It's just something that we're supposed to be doing or should be doing. It's fun and pleasurable. And we don't realize the deep connection that sex is to bring about between two people. So everything is casual today. And what the Bible does is restores marriage to its sacred and lofty perch. And we shouldn't think of it in terms of a casual relationship. We should recognize the covenant nature of marriage. And in this new covenant, we have the power of God's love that can bind us together, that will trump any adverse circumstance that we may encounter, and we will. We're going to encounter all kinds of trials and tribulations in marriage. So we need to realize that we have the power of God's love that can power us through. So we don't want to be bringing up the word divorce in our conversations one to another. Hey, if we can't work through this, we're just going to call it quits and move on. So if you're a believer and you have a believing mate, the two of you get together and say, let's not talk about separation. Let's not talk about divorce. Let's not talk about anything other than how God is going to enable us to work through any situation to strengthen us and to make our marriage be something that reflects his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, and that our marriage can be something that is to his glory. And it's very important. I know, Richard, when you talk with couples in premarital counseling, this is something that you bring up.
Yes, a lot. I'm real obvious, very, very clear with people I counsel. Is if you can't take this seriously, don't get married.
Right.
Don't even talk. Marriage shouldn't enter into your conversation if you think it's an easy thing to get out of. Just break up. Live separately. don't date, don't do anything, because this is too important. I mean, marriage represents in a physical way, in this intimacy that's all spiritual, mental, and physical, God's relationship with us. And I can't help thinking sometimes that in the church, because the church suffers from divorce just like the rest of the world does, I can't help thinking that our beliefs about in and out of fellowship have an impact on marriage. Because if I mess up, well, God says, I don't like you.
He turns his back.
He turns his back.
So many people think he's up on a swivel chair.
Turns his back.
Every time we sin, he turns his back away from us.
And I come to him and I beg him to take me back. And I mean, what a broken relationship. That's not a relationship. It's not true. And so if we would have the proper view of the gospel and of forgiveness and eternal life and justification and all these great themes of grace, I think our marriages would be stronger.
Yes.
Because we would have a position of strength in Jesus from which to build.
That's why this new covenant, understanding who we are in Christ, understanding the relationship that we have with Christ, understanding the truth that Christ lives in us, is so vitally important and is the key to strong, healthy, vibrant, vital marriage relationships. Apart from knowing this gospel message and seeing this gospel message lived out within the framework of marriage, boy, you just have to try to figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be very good at all.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's the Grace Guide to Marriage, and we hope you've not only been listening, but you're hearing the valuable insights that Bob and Richard are sharing on each of these sessions every week. If you'd like a review of the sessions, you'll find the archive, friends, at basicgospel.net/teaching. And we hope you'll tell your family and friends how they, too, can hear this excellent series, The Grace Guide to Marriage. And again, you can find it at basicgospel.net/teaching.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7 concerning Christian marriage. He said, to the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord.
Yes.
So this isn't just something that he made up. This is direct from the Lord. This is revelation from Jesus Christ himself. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce his wife. So what is God's directive to a couple that's struggling? Well, he's going to say, don't separate, work it out, be mm-hmm. reconciled one to another. And clearly to the husband, he says, you should not divorce your wife. Now, folks, this is a very interesting word, this word divorce. It is the Greek word aphéime. Now, aphéime is often translated forgiveness or forgive.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? It means to send away. So what has God done as far as our sins are concerned? He has divorced us from our sins. He has sent them away, never to deal with them again. Now, that's what divorce is. You send your mate away to never deal with them again, to put them out of your mind or out of your care. You just forget about them and move on to the next thing. That's what divorce is all about. And God is saying to the husband, you should not divorce. You should not put her away, send her away. That's not within the cards. That's not what the Bible has to say. That's not how God has set it up. He said, what he has joined together, let no one divide. So if you're out there struggling in your marriage, don't give up hope. If the Lord is in your marriage, you always have hope. And an interesting statistic in some research, and Tim Keller put this out in a book that he wrote. He said, if somebody is unhappy in their first or second year of marriage, if they'll just stick it out 2 or 3 years later, everything's going to turn around. If they just give the Lord a chance, mm-hmm. if they just allow the Lord to do his work within the confines of their relationship, then they're going to see this magnificent, marvelous work of Jesus bearing fruit in a wonderful, wonderful way. So if you're struggling in your marriage, don't give up hope. Why? Because you have Jesus, and Jesus will work it together for good. That is his promise. Now, in this world in which we live, it's not a sinless environment like it was back in the Garden of Eden. Sin is entered in. We are housed in bodies of flesh, and within the members of our bodies, sin resides. So there's always this enemy that's right there lurking to try to move us away. We have an enemy out there as well, who's intent on stealing and killing and destroying us and our relationships. So we have to recognize, with that as reality, divorce is going to happen. There are times when people do get divorced. We talked about at the beginning of the program, back in the Old Testament, Moses recognized a hardness of heart. Well, I think a hardness of heart can still come about. We can find that in situations today where a husband might start mentally and emotionally and then physically abusing their wives.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, I think the wife needs to find some safety.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's going to continue, then I don't think there's a marriage there. So there's hardness of heart. There's infidelity that happens. And Jesus said this, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So there are times when infidelity enters in. And if possible, you work through that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's not possible. And so you say, I just can't live with this person. I can't come to terms with the fact that he cheated or she cheated, and just the vision of that is too much. So divorce happens. Sometimes desertion happens. We see that as sometimes if a believing mate has an unbelieving mate, and the unbeliever just says, hey, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of your holier than thou attitude. I just can't take me being in darkness and the light of you, the light of Christ in you, shining on me and constantly exposing my evilness, my own darkness. So they walk away, they separate, and they desert basically. And so at that point it says, in such cases, the brother and sister is not bound to that person anymore. So in those cases, remarriage is an option. You're not bound. You're free to be married. But is it wise? And that's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that people are always calling, wanting to know if it's okay. You say, well, yeah, there's some okayness to it, but will it be wise?
Yeah, it's been a minute and a half since we signed the agreement.
Right.
No, stop.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Yeah. Are you going to get right back into another relationship and make the same mistakes you made in the first relationship? Well, that's not going to be a wise thing to do. So we need to ask the question, is it wise? And that's where we have to depend upon the Lord and allow the Lord to do his work.
Without question. Well, friends, we're glad you've joined us for the Grace Guide to Marriage. If you would like a review or to share these sessions, visit basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire series is there. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. Keep in mind that if you have a question later today or over the weekend, drop us an email. You can do so at bob@basicgospel.net or phone your question to 844-322-2742. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you. Please keep in mind that your gifts help to enable us to produce series such as this and to keep this good news of Jesus Christ on the air and online. And we hope you'll join us today by donating any one of several ways, several good ways, by phone at 844-322-2742, online at basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. You can donate through the Basic Gospel app, and outside the U.S. and Canada, you can donate with PayPal. We truly appreciate your support at Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then, and have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.